Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. In this episode, we're joined by Jill Kenny, CEO of Sundi Bar PLC, a company building the go-to marketplace for AI agents. Hot off the heels of their successful beta launch, Sundi Bar has now adopted a Bitcoin treasury management policy, marking a bold move at the intersection of fintech and AI. We'll be diving into what this means for the company's capital strategy, why Bitcoin fits into the vision, and how Sundi Bar plans to balance financial innovation with its core mission of empowering business through AI. So welcome to the podcast, Jill. How's things?
Things are good. And Phil and I have been listening to the podcast and just your intro, you have a really good voice for, I was going to say radio, but that'll date me. A really good voice for pod.
Well, I think it's usually we say to Kev, Kev's got a face for radio. So yeah, I like that. I'll take that.
Voice for radio, face for radio. Yeah. Absolutely. No, great to be here. Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So Jill, for listeners just getting familiar with Sundi Bar and the whole sort of ethos behind the company, can you just walk us through what the platform actually does, who it's built for, and you know how it bridges the gap between AI developers and businesses looking for scalable AI solutions, please?
Absolutely. So what Sundi Bar is, it's a marketplace for AI agents. So essentially what you do in any marketplace, you have your sellers and your buyers. And for us, the sellers on the marketplace are developers of AI agents. And for those that don't know, AI agents are software models or AI models that are stacked on top of each other that can autonomously execute a task end to end. You know, and these are advancing very quickly in a really exciting way. And you're seeing more businesses, enterprises, and individuals actually integrating them into their day-to-day work, into their workflows. So it could be a sales intelligence agent. It could be an HR agent. It could be a marketing agent. Like if you all wanted to get like a marketing refresh and rebrand and then wanted to create ads, you could have an agent that did that for you on one platform. It could build it in Figma. It could then take that asset, put it across multiple platforms. It could put paid behind it and then give you reports back and email out anyone who needed to know. So what businesses are realizing is, hey, we need to do this because it saves us time. It'll improve our ROI and our productivity. And if we don't, our competitors are doing it. So we're seeing fast adoption of that, but we're also seeing the space is a little bit fragmented. These agents are being developed at rapid pace and at scale, and they're getting really, really smart. A voice agent got released today by a company actually out of the UK called 11 Labs. But businesses are like, where do I discover this? Where do I go to find the right agent for my business? So we want to be that conduit. So we will host the agents that you can search and then test in our environment and deploy as you wish. So that's essentially what it is. We're a two-sided marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the next question for listeners, certainly for me, is how do you monetize this? Like, how does Sundi Bar get any, you know, revenues coming in from this whole kind of marketplace? Almost like an app store for AI agents, if you will.
Yeah. No, it is like that. It's very similar. So we have three different revenue streams. So as an AI agent developer, there'll be monthly fees in order to host your agent on that platform. And very common within this model, task-based. So how much you need to use, that's what you pay per month. And whether that's to build your agent, we're putting in those capabilities to host your agent, to market your agent, and then monetize it. So think of it as like the AI agent developer has their own little shop, and you can make that shop as big and beautiful and robust as you want. You pay us a lovely fee to do that per month. And then on the sales side, a percent of sales. So Phil, if you created that amazing marketing agent, you're selling it to Kevin. Sundi Bar takes a cut, which is also, you know, not a groundbreaking new method. You look at Shopify, you look at Amazon, you look at all those marketplaces. And then the third one is just advertising within platform. So how everyone will want their agent up front and center, because you know, the pace that these agents are getting developed there'll be millions by end of year. There'll be a lot of marketing agents. How do you get your agent to be top of search? We're actually going to launch next week our own AI agent that'll help you navigate the site. So if you were looking for that HR agent, it'll make those suggestions. So those three business models, and what we like about them is they reward the developer at the same time through the process. So the more great agents on the platform, the more monthly we have, but the more sales they have and the more we take. So it's this really nice flywheel generating revenue. And then
Absolutely.
just playing in the AI space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I guess we've already talked in the past with other companies around this tau and almost a similar sort of thing. AI agents are rewarded based on like performance
Yeah.
metrics. They call it the emissions, as I believe, is all down to that and rewarding the tau. But how I mean, I guess the question I've got is, how are things going since you've kind of launched that in the whole of the marketplace? And are you seeing an increase in the number of you know, the monetization for on a monthly basis?
Yeah, so we actually just went live on June 3rd with our very early beta version, which you'll see if you go on there. Right now, it's more of an AI agent directory. The monetization features are all scheduled to be slated in up and going Q3. And there are new agents being uploaded to the platform daily. So we know there is a need to have these agents here. As a company, we were in a fortunate position where we acquired a company called Aura Technologies PLC, and they had a ready-made marketplace already built, KYC, AML payments. And so right now we're in the stage of migrating the tech and then building our own tech stack on top of that. So we are still early days, but obviously we have milestones in our roadmap with the tech of what will be integrated and that wallet for the payments, you'll see in Q3.
Very good. Jill, Sunday Bar, where did the name come from?
Isn't it a great name? Well, I did learn, so I am Canadian. I guess Sundays are more popular in North America. When I was in London for the admission on AIM, people didn't seem as familiar with it. Everyone loves a Sunday, and it's kind of like you have your base models, which we have, and then you can build on top of that. So like when I gave the analogy of the storefront, what do you want to pull from our tech stack into your shop to bring whatever you create to life? I come from a pretty heavy marketing background. I was at Red Bull for a very long time. I led their media and content team. We spent a lot of time naming things, and you always had to do stuff that no one had ever done before. And sometimes a name can be hard, but you can also build a brand around a name. And this one came really quick, and I ran it by a couple people, and everyone's, oh, I like it. And I have three kids, and one of them was in the room yelling in from the TV room, do we have a Sunday bar? Is there a Sunday bar? So then I was like, you know what? This is going to stick. Also in tech, it's pretty common with naming trends to be kind of fun and light.
Yeah,
Anyways, that's where it came from.
you're out there, but it's not Sunday as in Sunday roast, which is what you're on at the minute. But yes,
I
that's
know, I know. I saw that. And then people also thought you just go to the bar on Sunday. I was like, yeah, you could also do that. Or you guys would be
yeah.
Sunday
So
pub.
you would have a Sunday, and it's a big ice cream, no?
An ice cream sundae, yeah.
Ice cream
Yeah.
sundae is what
And
we
then you put
see
your
it.
toppings.
See, yeah. So you're
Yeah.
basically saying that the developer is coming to you. And you're saying, okay, here's all the options. Choose what you want. You can have a basic option if you want, or you can add XYZ. And each
Yeah.
time they add another bit, then obviously
Yeah.
the premium goes up in terms of what they have to pay, I presume.
Yeah. And you can also reverse that on the buyer side because people will have a collection of agents. Like you will be working with multiple agents in your workday. You will work with agents that hire other agents to work with you. So, like on that side too, you're also building your own group of agents that make sense for what you need. It's pretty exciting what they'll be able to do. I honestly think we all don't quite understand yet what working will look like to us in 6 months to a year. Like what kind of creativity, innovation, intelligence are we going to lock? Because we're not just like heads down in our computers. If you've been on the site, we actually have our version of what an AI agent is. You're seeing a lot of companies, they do like code, they do a robot. We actually asked AI for fun, like, what do you see an agent as? And it just comes back as robots and codes. But you'll see what we do is we have these like very dynamic, aesthetically pleasing, moving, colorful, I guess it's, they're kind of like blobs that are working behind you. And while you're able to do other things, and when we were kind of building out our marketing campaign, what we realized, because at first we're like, AI agents are going to be what cell phones were. Like they're with you all the time. All of a sudden, you can't work without your cell phone. And so then when we started to put the agents into context, like in an image, they always ended up behind you and allowed you to free up time to do something else. So like if you're speaking at a conference, you don't have like, I don't know if you've done it before, but you have your phone going and you're like, oh no, like you have to look at it. You've prompted that agent before you go speak. So it's doing your work. If you are training for a marathon, Charles, you know, and you all of a sudden had to, your studio guy quit and you had to hire a new studio guy for a big interview next week, you can prompt your agent with everything that you need them to do. You can still go for your run and don't have to check your phone. So it's kind of like putting your head up, which was really interesting conceptually.
Yeah, I
Do you
think.
think as human beings, we're going to have to think a bit more than if we're going to use these things, you think?
I think we're going to have to think in a different way. I think we're probably going to think in a way that we were more programmed to think. I know I get stuck in sheets and data and repetitive tasks, and then you're really like intelligently exhausted by the time, okay, now I have to like think of really good questions in the interview, like get more information. You can scrape, like your agent could do grab info on all of us prior to us coming on. So you can then like refine that. What do you really want to talk about from here? Instead of spending your time just grabbing all the information, they're assistants.
No, it sounds fascinating. From a scalability point of view, then, how big do you think this can become? Obviously, it's dependent on obviously the take up of AI, but that seems to be a
That's
given in
here.
most
Yeah,
businesses.
the scalability of integration of AI agents into people's life is massive. You know, and it's happening at such speed. Like in November, when we were talking to different businesses, I advise on a couple of businesses that build AI agents. It was like, ooh, they're like, we call them AI curious. Like they're like, we don't know, we're a bit nervous. What about data? And now they're like, we have budgets allocated, we have teams in place, we're ready to go. So AI agents are here to stay. And we see this as first mover advantage in a fragmented market where we have an opportunity when we build this platform right and we put really high quality trusted agents on the platform that people will come to us to discover, like how, like what Shopify did for entrepreneurs, like their, you know, entrepreneurship went online and they were there to capture that and build storefronts essentially for people so they could scale their businesses instead of having it in these silos.
So who is your perfect customer then? Who is your perfect customer?
So what we're looking at, so obviously you have both sides. What we're seeing is the development of the agents. It's a very like these tech bros and girls. I don't know if tech bros is a word yet. I should make it one.
They're all
They're
tech pros,
building.
are they not?
They're all tech bros. They are being built and people are so excited. And these communities are huge. They live in Discord, they live in Telegram, they are sharing, they are building. So for us, we do need to have really good agent developers on the platform for sure. But where we're seeing like right now, just generally in the market, there's more friction on the other side. There is still that little bit of distrust on where you hire. So you will see in how we are positioning the company, we are positioning it more a little bit to the consumer side. So like how do you get matched with an agent? Find your perfect agent. How do we make agents more relatable and understandable and trustworthy? So the developers, because the developers are making these things, they want to monetize them. They will put them on the platform. We on the other side. So that perfect customer for us is really like big enterprise, small enterprise, anyone that's wanting to download these to integrate into all verticals within their business.
I've just got a couple of questions. I know we're running low on time. I guess when you're talking about like the algorithmic way that AI agents are kind of ranked or selected, in their risk that a winner takes the most strategy almost, that the people who are early on the platform and perform well then get better ranked, and then it's hard for new players to break in and then to improve. So I guess how do you accommodate that?
So we really are planning on putting in a pretty robust validation program. So you'll have human user validation as well as AI agent validation, because agents can validate agents, and then pushing them with tokenizations and rewards to make sure their agent is the best. I think one way to think about it, yes, the best agents will likely rank on top. Early ones will probably can get overtaken by other ones. The whole space is very democratized and being rewarded for performance, and it's happening so quick. Like Kevin could have the best a like sales intelligent agent in the market forever, and then Charles, you find this awesome little bit of tech stack that blows it out of the water, and you like your speed, your uptime's faster, all of that.
And then that's that.
I was talking to someone that did not understand this space at all, and I said, think it's kind of like Airbnb, how guest ratings, bump you up or down. And this community will, the best will rise to the top, and that's what we want. And then there'll be specific ones. I think I'm really excited to see like who makes that incredible AI agent for plumbers. That's probably going to sell the most, right?
You're right.
Like
You're right.
they don't want to be on their phone. They need to be working because that's
See,
where they
that's
make
funny.
money.
It's funny when you say this stuff, right? Because every time, I'm only in my late 30s, you guys may be a little bit older, I don't know. But every time there's this kind of great leap forward, we're told there'll be less work or like there'll be no jobs and it'll either be chaos or everyone can work 3 days a week. What happens is the work you're currently doing becomes obsolete or easier, and then the work becomes more specialized and more complicated, what's left for humans to do, and the economy just grows. So I'm not sure it makes it easier. It just makes it easier to make more
Different.
profit in a business. Different. Yeah, different.
Yeah. And I think you'll see it more as a companion and a teammate. I think that's really important. And you're also looking at like labor shortages all over the world. And how do we supplement that? How do we change that? How do we take what we do, like what we're super good at, and light that up and put it on
Yeah, we
fire?
have
I
a
think
collapsing
that's where
birth
you'll
rate.
see.
How do you, fill in the gap for work? But we go on forever,
I
forever and
think those
ever.
labor shortages are only in the third, in the first world, but we won't go there for this particular
True.
interview. Now, the question also now is that you've now decided to go for the Bitcoin treasury as well, and I presume in a tech business that's a pretty straightforward thing to do, probably a sensible thing to do, because let's be honest, most tech people hate fiat currency now because basically they think it's worthless and becoming even worth less every day, as we've seen the US dollar start to fall again today. And it's only going one way, I think, and I think everybody sees this. So you're trying to raise some money then and have a Bitcoin treasury. How do you see that progressing? I mean, you talked about Flywheel before. You see that process ongoing just to protect the currency of the company, if you like.
Yeah, I think we'll always do what makes the most sense for our investors and our business strategically. The core of our business is the AI agent marketplace, which we discussed, but we also think it makes sense to hedge against debasement and inflation. And if there's an opportunity to do that, it's a really good treasury policy. Our board, I know you all know Jonathan Bixby, et cetera, they have deep knowledge in the crypto space, and we all are very forward thinking in that area. And as a straight treasury policy, we just think it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it does, to be honest.
Yeah, on the back of a good business.
Yes, I agree with you. I mean, we've been having this discussion backwards and forwards, even Phil, Charles, and myself, that what are going to be the winners? Are the true plays, just BTC Treasuries, really going to be the winners? Maybe actually in the US market that might be true, but I believe in the UK market, a business with a BT Treasury is going to be much more appealing to the UK investor. I don't know why. I just think there is something solid about it. We can see the numbers. We can see why you would do it. And I mean, I said to you before we started talking, we've got Priority One, which is doing the same thing. We've got yourself. We've even got Jonathan Bixby's other company, which is Tiger Royalties, doing a similar type of thing. The main business is not the treasury, but they've gone for a company, if you like, rather than do the treasury themselves directly. But those are not the main thrust of the business. You're going to be able to put Bitcoin in this treasury from your profit, hopefully. That's the idea, I presume, as you go
That is
along,
100%
rather
the
than
idea.
just raise, raise, raise. Though, to get the thing started, you're gonna raise. That's the way it
Yeah,
works.
and if there's a market opportunity, you take it. And it works really well for like innovative AI companies because crypto and AI live simultaneously in many ways. And so for us, it makes sense.
Okay.
Guess on that note, we'll say Jill Kenny, CEO of Sunday Bar PLC. Thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thank you. That was great. Appreciate it.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.